You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
A new week. Good afternoon. Welcome in. Glad to have all of you with us here on a Monday, a very busy week that will include the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament. We'll begin our coverage Wednesday in Nashville. We begin today with a lot of news about many subjects. About the CFP, what's happening with the format, future revenue in flux, Ross Dellinger writing about what is on the table. Let's talk to him without further ado, Ross Dellinger. Ross, this has been dizzying watching your reporting on this, especially from week to week about what the proposals have been, including automatic buys. Good afternoon. Tell us where we are today.
Yeah, it's been dizzying is one way to put it for sure, Paul. It's been a pretty crazy process, really, that is in its fourth year, four and a half years of this. You know, they talked about first created the subcommittee to expand the playoff back in spring of 2019. And here we are, 5 years, almost 5 years. So it's been quite a process, and it's changed a lot along the way. So the current situation is, you know, everybody's trying to, as in everybody, the FBS, the 10 FBS leagues in Notre Dame, trying to come to a consensus in agreement, first on a revenue distribution model for a new contract for the CFP starting in 2026. So there's kind of three buckets. I think I talked to you on the show before about this, and we're still on the first bucket, which is the revenue distribution model. They need to agree on that. There's a timeline, internal deadline, kind of this week, Thursday or Friday, to agree on a revenue distribution model and then finalize an extension with ESPN for the TV contract to have another 6 years starting in 26 with a new contract running through 31. So that's where we are. We did some reporting on Friday about that revenue distribution model proposal. Right now it's being circulated, Paul, and as we expected, right, the Big Ten and SEC would ask for more money, and they have under the current proposal. The Big Ten and SEC would get 58% of the CFP base distribution. Now, to put that into some perspective, you know, the ACC and Big 12 would get a combined 31-32%, something like that. And again, to put all that into side by side for you, currently the current distribution format in the CFP is that the Power Five conferences split evenly 80% of the CFP distribution. So right now we've got the proposal currently for a new contract is 58% will go to the SEC Big Ten, and around 32% will go to the ACC Big 12. The rest will be split with Notre Dame in the group of five. So that's kind of the current revenue distribution proposal floating around that hopefully some agreement will come to by the end of this week.
Ross, there's been so much information out there, and I don't want to call it misinformation because these are all ideas, and what you're reporting is what you're hearing at that particular point. But the one that really blew the gasket off was the one a couple of days ago, maybe a week or two ago, about the automatic buys by the Big Ten and the SEC. Was that something that the leagues threw up there knowing it would get shot down to help them on the revenue side, or was that real?
Well, yeah, maybe it's I'm sure it was a bargaining, a little bit of a negotiating ploy, you might say. All of this is kind of a negotiation. You got Big Ten and SEC on one side, right, and kind of everybody else on the other. specifically Big 12 and ACC on the other. Group of Five probably in a way caught in the middle, just maybe happy to be a part of this thing. So you've got some negotiating going on back and forth among the Power Four. They've been on a lot of calls lately, and that was probably one of the negotiating tactics, was to throw that out there. And there was some serious consideration for that, as I wrote in Friday's story. Because of the public pushback on that, I think that has largely been tabled for now, the buys. And then the format, which we had reported on the day before that, which is the three automatic qualifiers to the SEC and Big Ten, and the two each to the ACC and Big 12, and then one G5 and three at large. That's only one of maybe as many as three or four formats that they're looking at. You know, we do get focused a lot on format, but that's kind of taking a back seat to the revenue distribution. So they could, by the end of this week, Paul, I would imagine that we will have an agreement, all signs point to that, on a revenue distribution model. And then that will then lead to a new deal with ESPN. After that, maybe weeks from now, maybe months from now, Paul, we might have some kind of agreement on a format. And there's, like I said, there's a couple of formats being thrown around. There was that one that we reported on a couple of weeks ago. Another one is the 5+9. You know, right now for the next 2 years, Paul, we have 5+7, which is five automatic qualifiers for the five highest ranked conference champions and seven at large. Now, they're maybe looking at pushing it to 14, five AQs and nine at large. And there's another model, too, that we wrote about on Friday. It's two automatic qualifiers each for the Big 10 SEC, one each ACC Big 12, one for the Group of Five, seven at large. So, but format, we focus a lot on format, but that's kind of taking a backseat. The money is the thing this week that needs to get adopted, approved, and then you have that agreement. Everybody comes together for that agreement with the extension with ESPN.
Ross, final question. Right now it's 12. We've heard everything from 14 to 16 to who knows what. What's the likely number going to be when they get this settled and solved?
Well, I think you're looking at the 3-3-2-2-1-3 or the 2-2-1-1-1-7 or the 5-9. You know, that seems to be where the direction they're heading right now. But, man, all of this, Paul, could change with more conference realignment. And in any proposal, we reported this in Friday's story, right now the proposal calls for a look-in provision in 2028 where the contract could be changed, the format could be changed, the rev model could be changed. And even before 2028, things could change. If there's a conference realignment move before 28 in that look-in provision, it will trigger a look-in. It could trigger a look-in if this proposal goes through and gets adopted this week. That right now is the provision, and that obviously is kind of a nod to probably the ACC, right? It's pretty unstable right now. Florida State is in the middle of trying to exit. We wrote in that story Friday. You know, Clemson has also been doing work to potentially legally file something at some point. We know last year that five more programs in the ACC were looking to exit some way last spring. So I think the look-in provision is important to remember. That could impact and change everything. Could change the format, could change the rev model if we have more conference realignment.
A number of more questions based on what you just said, but I think everybody is confused enough about trying to figure out where this is going to end up. Hey, Ross, thank you very much. Ross Dellinger with the absolute latest on the CFP, and what he said at the end of that could be the most important thing of all is where the ACC is and what could happen if things change within that conference. We have a lot to do today. We'll get to all of it on a Monday as we continue here. Your phone calls straight ahead.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This is the headline today. South Carolina's dramatic weekend sets the stage for a dominant NCAA tournament run. A buzzer beater Saturday night. The drama of yesterday that you heard Coach Staley talking about. All in all, an amazing weekend of women's basketball. Men's side, where have we seen this before? From John Clay, Hooked on a Feeling. Yes. Famous song from yesteryear, Why Kentucky Will Win the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament. Kentucky was given up for dead about a month ago, and now they're projected to be a number 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. They are in the double bye for the SEC, all things that nobody predicted except John Calipari about a month ago. Football camps are opening, and yes, you may be watching Oklahoma play in a women's championship later and a men's tournament this week, but the men's football program is now getting ready for SEC ball, and the camp opens today, and we'll have a conversation about that a little bit later on. And your calls immediately, and JK starts it off for us.
Paul, how you doing today, my friend?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, Paul, I got a public service announcement to all the Alabama callers that have an issue with every call I make. Paul answered the phone, and he's going to let me say what I want to say as long as I don't get crazy and get that guy to push that button on me. So you'll never have to worry about that fine bomb. But let me start my little rant. Hey, Paul, I guess Kentucky, they may do something this time, or else they're going to turn into the new Gonzaga that they predict to win it all every year. And they choke in the big dance. So hopefully Kentucky will do something. But I actually called about this new playoff system they're trying to propose and bring to fruition. But you know what, Paul? Before Oklahoma and Texas was in the SEC, we had divisions. All this time, now all of a sudden the best record is going to win the SEC, which I have a problem with. But you know what else I have a problem with? The Blue Bloods and the Big Bad Wolf teams of college football, I like how the NIL and the transfer portal has all of them scrambling, trying to figure out a way to stay on top, because that's all they're doing. They're trying to guarantee a way for the big money schools to get into the playoffs. Win on the field. Nothing should be guaranteed unless you win. I have a major issue with that, Paul, and I can see what they're doing. This is all about money once again. If your team can't win on the field, stop trying to put stuff in place for them to just ease into the playoffs and hopefully win more money for their school and TV, because that's all that's going on right now, Paul. You know it and I know it, whether you want to admit it or not. That's my take on it. I hope I didn't make anybody upset by my opinion, because everybody has one, so don't be mad at mine. You have a good day, Paul.
Andre is up next. How are you, Andre?
Thanks for taking my call, Coach.
Thank you.
It's, you know, I'm an LSU fan. I watched a game with LSU and South Carolina. They were two heavyweights slugging it out. But to the fan, the family member, the cousin, the nieces, the aunts, the uncles, the brothers, the parents, stay in the stand where you belong, or you're going to end up in jail like this guy is sitting in jail now. You don't belong on the court. Let the players and the referees handle it and the police officers on the court. But these people running out of the stand, come on, man, you can't do that. Somebody's going to get hurt out here or get killed. But anyway, Coach, thanks for taking my call, and I always enjoy your show.
Well, that means a great deal. Thank you, Andre. You be well. Andre, we go from Andre to Andrea next in Tennessee. Hello, Andrea, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
And I agree with Andre 100%. These fans need to stay off the court before somebody gets hurt, and that's why I'm calling you. This whole brawl, how do you feel, and what would be your opinion on what the NCAA can do to get harsher punishments? I don't think the girls should play in the tournament at all. I think it's not the first round, the whole tournament. They should be punished for that. There is no sense in that.
Well, I think the rule is you miss a game. I don't think, I mean, whether you agree or not, that's where we are right now. You can't change the rule to suit the situation, but I doubt they're going to make it any harsher. I think it's up to, I mean, if things are that outrageous, I think it's up to the individual, the school to determine. But that's always the worst place to determine, isn't it? When that's like, you know, telling the CEO of a company to conduct an internal investigation if he's accused of malfeasance.
Right. It's a touchy situation, because, I mean, it doesn't happen very often. But, and two, you know, I heard some of the commentators, Carol and Peck, and then we're talking about some of the officials' calls and how I've seen them knock each other down on the floor and not get a whistle, but then they barely touch their hand on a shot, and all of a sudden there's a foul called. These officials, something needs to be done with them, too, to get them more accurate, because where they're making
Andrea,
so many
that's
people
really
mad
the issue.
How
do you make officiating better? That's an age-old question. We get in every sport.
Exactly.
You simply have to hire the best people and train them. And I think, at least as far as the SEC, they put their officials through a regimen. And I run into officials at the airport all the time, and they tell me their stories. And I mean, these are smart people that are highly trained and in usually in peak physical condition. But there's a human element to it all, and we get upset when they go to the replay because it takes 5 minutes. Hey, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Joey is in North Carolina. Hello, Joey.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you for checking in.
Doing great. Yeah, I'd like to make a few comments about the South Carolina LSU game. Yeah, I mean, back in the day whenever I played, we had people on our team. We called them team players. We was all team players. But we usually had one, I mean, you know, and they would take up. They would take up for players. So I'm not blaming the way Cardoso acted. You got to put your people's got to put their self in the player's shoes. You know, somebody jumps on Reese of Kentucky. What's his teammates going to do? They jump on Kinnick from Tennessee. What's his team players going to do? So,
well, sure. I mean, anybody who's ever been on a team at the highest level to Little League, you're going to defend your teammates. That's a natural instinct across this country and across the world. Thank you very, very much. Daryl is in Baton Rouge. What do you got, Daryl?
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing, Paul?
Okay, sir.
Hey, I watched the whole girls' tournament Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and yesterday. About yesterday's brawl, I think the officials missed too many calls, Paul. They missed a bunch of calls on both sides. And they let they was mulling each other under the baskets. It was terrible. And I'm not blaming the officials, but they sure missed a lot of calls. And to me, they let the game get away from them. And there was a lot of yakking back and forth. And I think the officials sort of stepped in early and cooled that down, because you could see it coming. You could see it coming. And like Kim Mulkey said, she wished that girl would have pushed Angel Reese instead of pushing that little short one. So, did you watch the game, Paul?
Yeah, I saw it periodically. I actually missed it, but I've seen the end of it now about 8,000 times. So, I have seen it now.
Yeah, what's your opinion on that brawl, Paul, from beginning to end? What do you think about it?
Well, I mean, I think...
Do you think it hurt the league?
No, because it's a one-day story. Everybody saw it on local news or on ESPN, and it will go away, and now it's on to whether South Carolina can defend or not. I mean, I don't want to give you the cliche comments, you know, it's terrible, and this is not what it's all about. This is competition. It happened. They were able to get it settled fairly quickly. I've heard a lot of strong opinions. I heard Shannon Sharp on First Take excoriate Kim, and I don't know. Listen, every coach has a right to defend their players. What you don't want is try to incite anyone afterwards. And what Shannon said about Mulkey was rather strong. But hey, he's an opinionist. That's what he's supposed to do. Dwayne is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, what's up, Paul Bob? I'm on opinions too. Hey, your last phone caller, not that one, the one before that said that. Well, if I see the girl push another girl, our teammate should help her. That push them down. That's ball. That was your last caller said. The caller before the other caller, he supported violence.
Well, how do you think how do you think your coach handled it?
Hey, she handled it wrong, but the referees let a lot of stuff go. The referees, you put the referees at fault for that too now.
Well, I mean, I think ultimately, yeah, it is on the officials to control the game.
Yeah, the referees put a whole lot of stuff past. Yeah, they let them play doggy dog. They're playing doggy dog.
What do you want them to play though in the championship?
Now you gotta eliminate some of that stuff, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. You can't, you know what I'm saying? The referees should take charge. You know what I'm saying? Hey, this ain't gonna go on. This ain't gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? If this happens, you're getting out the game. I'm throwing attack on you. You know what I'm saying? If the coaches talk, hey, tell them coaches. If you talk to me reckless on when I'm calling the call, you're getting out of here. You know what I'm saying?
The problem is when you have two Hall of Fame coaches, sometimes they can intimidate the officials, but the officials always have to control the game and they have to warn the coaches. But it's more difficult when you have iconic figures, and that game had two of the biggest coaches of all time in the game. We'll take a short break. Your phone call is around the corner. More guests do come. We've already had Ross Dellinger on the latest from the CFP. We're back after this.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and let's head to our New Jersey. I've been worried about Booker. We were talking about him the other day. Booker, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm having a lot of conversations on the phone with a lot of your listeners.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah, we're afraid that you got too busy talking to our listeners and too busy to call us.
No, I've been trying. Thanks for taking my call. Yesterday's event, the end of the LSU South Carolina game, that was terrible to watch. But I guess for a moment I'm sliding over a little bit to where Shannon Sharp was. I think Dawn Staley addressed it eloquently that she's going in the heat of the battle. I was an athlete myself. I'm in the Hall of Fame at my school. And but I think Kim Mulkey is kind of setting it up to egg it on, so in case the two of them meet again, that was unnecessary to say if she had pushed Angel Reese. Angel Reese was not trying to get into that. Angel Reese wants to be the Bayou Barbie after being the Baltimore Barbie and Camilla. That's a big girl. That was just an unfortunate incident. And let's just let it go on and play out, because being an African-American, sometimes I see what I know and I know what I see. I lived in South Carolina for 46 years until I was 46. And I pastored right there in Greenville, right around the corner from where the Bonsa Coors Wellness Center is. It was called the Bilo Center, but it was fine. A great, great town. I would never have ended up in New York if the Lord hadn't sent me here. And I just hope nothing like that happens again. But again, I think Kim Mulkey needs to kind of take a check down on how she presents herself in a situation like this. That's it. And I'm good. I listen every day, but I'm growing a beard, and I'm going to shave when football season starts.
Well, let us see what you look like. Booker, hey, be well. Take care of yourself. I don't know if Bash is old enough to grow a beard, but he's next up on the program. Hello, Bash.
I'm 28 years old. Okay. I grew a beard when I was 13, Paul. That's very unprofessional.
I didn't realize you were 28, Bash, so sorry about that.
You're fine, Paul. It's good. Thank you for taking my call again today. I got to get to the arena and work the Nuggets-Raptors game, so thank you for getting me in so quickly.
Of course.
Paul, I wanted to ask you, I'm getting ready to potentially host you, Randy, Dan, Luke, Alex, Jamari, the whole Feinbaum crew. Hopefully one day we'll come out to Colorado and let me be the host that I can potentially prove myself to be. And I want to ask you, Paul, because I know you're quite the celebrity in the Charlotte, North Carolina parts. Hypothetically, if someone who is a major executive at the Spectrum Center, that's right, comes up to you, Paul, and say, thank you so much, Paul, for everything you do for the Charlotte community. We wanted to thank you by offering you free tickets to either the Charlotte Hornets, the Carolina Hurricanes, or, and this is my favorite, Paul, would you take both tickets if that was an option?
I'll tell you a quick story, Bash. And I met him a couple of years ago by accident at a clothing store, and it happened to be the president of the Charlotte Hornets. He just retired. He was Michael Jordan's best friend. He came up to me and he said, "Hey, it's funny. I was with your boss recently in New York, and we had a nice conversation." He invited me to a couple of different things. I wasn't able to do it. Anyway, about 3 years ago, I ran into him again on a weekend, and he said, "Please, listen, I would love to host you at a Hornets game."
Of course. You're the number one show on the number one network, Bash, on the SEC network, so.
I appreciate it very much. Ask me how many Hornets games I've seen since I've been living here.
How long have you lived there, Paul? 10 years now?
Yeah,
that?
I'll make it simple on you. The answer is still zero.
Zero?
It's not that I don't like I considered going twice. I nearly went one time when Steph Curry was coming in, because I thought that would be fun to watch. And then I thought about going maybe last year to see LeBron. And something stopped me both times, and that's the aversion to bad basketball. So now he's gone. I don't know anybody that works there, and it won't make any difference. But I appreciate your bringing that up.
Well, let me ask you, Paul, if you were to go to a game, and it's not a Charlotte Hornets game, obviously, on this subject, would you prefer a club suite type of ticket, or would you rather be courtside?
No, I'd rather be on the court. I mean, I want to be with the fans. I don't want to be up there in some snooty box with a bunch of billionaires. I mean, those are not the Feinbaum callers. You know that, Bash.
Oh, trust me, Paul. I know that. It's part of my job after the game's over. It's like, oh, you rich billionaires, you have to leave now.
I've had the opportunity over the years to be in those suites, and I find the people in those suites simply unbearable.
You are absolutely spot on, Paul. Not only are they unbearable, but they have no reach of reality, and when you try and reason with them, it almost becomes an insane conversation in the making.
No, it would be like going to an NFL owners meeting and trying to make sense with one of the people. Hey, thanks so much for the call. Great to hear from you. Enjoy the game tonight. And John is up next.
Hey, Paul, and what brawl? I mean, seriously, I played ice hockey as a kid and all through college, and really what happened on the court was just one girl pushing down another girl. I mean, who took exception to South Carolina players celebrating on the court? Hello, Angel Reese last year. I mean, there's more. I can't understand what the big deal is, seriously.
Well, the only big deal is it happened in the championship game between the two marquee teams in the best league, the defending national champion and the very likely champion. And it just so happened to also be live on ESPN.
Well, that's fair enough. By the way, today, March 11th, is the day J.K. called in and did not mention the word Alabama. Did you notice that?
That is true. It was also 4 years ago today that that the world came to an end.
Yeah, no. Oh, hey, Paul, I want to talk to
Saban. That wasn't because J.K. called our show.
No, not at all. I want to talk to Saban, but I may not have enough time today. But did you run off one of your top callers, I-Man, or is he just the little fellow in timeout?
I-Man, who once swore on this show that he would call every single day, quit the show the other day by hurling an expletive toward the host of the show.
Well, his IED episode was definitely an epic meltdown, and I do mean meltdown.
And by the way, the only reason I interfered with his call, I had about 10 calls, people pleading with me, stop the politics, and he just went off and had to defend the senior senator, excuse me, from the state of Alabama. Both senators are in the news. The senior senator, it wasn't personal. I just didn't want to hear anymore, and I also knew the audience didn't want to hear anymore.
Well, this epic meltdown's worthy of an Al Gore documentary, no doubt about it. Hey, I've got one other quick item, Paul. I've got an idea for your show. I was watching the State of the Union last week, and Joe Biden was kind of all juiced up and angry, and I came up with the idea of...
Now, by the way, John, I'm going to go against what I just said. I thought he sounded like a Feinbaum caller for a while, didn't he?
Well, I'm just getting to that. I think
he was yelling about everything.
You should have a phone feud with Joe and Don. I mean, it would feature, think about it, two angry old men with diminishing cognitive skills yelling and insulting
each
other.
Can you help me on that? Instead of the debate with all these prissy pancake makeup down CNN anchors, let's host a presidential debate right here, phoner feud, Trump v. Biden. I feel like I'm qualified to deal with both. And we'll settle the election right here, right now. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! lived. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. Tim is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I see nothing wrong with Kim taking up for a girl there. You know, she's just saying, hey, you know, pick on somebody your own size. I mean, we've been hearing that all our lives from the playground. You know?
You're right. You're absolutely right about that.
That's all I got.
Well, thank you. That was to the point. I appreciate that. Ralph is up next in Texas. Hello, Ralph.
Howdy, Paul.
Howdy.
I have a question, and I don't know, it's probably a contract thing. Why is the women's basketball SEC tournament always held in Greenville? Why wouldn't it be switched around to different?
Well, Ralph, it hasn't always been there, but this is a matter of communities. This has nothing to do with individual schools. I realize it is in South Carolina, but it's not that close to South Carolina. In fact, it's much closer to Clemson. It's around the corner. What happens is individual entities, usually a sports council or some entity within the within a municipality, bids on it, and then the SEC picks it. Like the basketball tournament, the men's, it hasn't always been in Nashville. Nashville is the favored place. In fact, 2 years ago, it was in Tampa. About 6 years ago, it was in St. Louis. That was more of a gift to the University of Missouri by the previous commissioner. It wasn't a good idea, by the way. But I think that's why. I would expect, I don't know the contract, but I'll find out. It could change. Like the SEC Media Days, which, by the way, doesn't matter because it's not involving fans, but this year it's going to be in Dallas. Why? Because of the inclusion of Texas and Oklahoma. So
correct.
I'll find out when I'm in Nashville, whether, and by the way, I may be able to find out in a matter of moments whether how long it's booked for Greenville, but I'm sure it's open for bid.
You know, and that's fine, but, you know, it just gives the fan base.
Yeah, I think we lost you there. I agree. I mean, it is an advantage. It's closer to South Carolina than any other place, but it's also not so coincidental that South Carolina has supported that tournament very, very fervently. I don't know. The answer is I'll find out, but I appreciate the question. Brandon is in Lexington. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Very well, thank you.
Caller. Hey, I asked this question to KSR here in Lexington. I'm trapped in Lexington due to work, but I'm from Bristol, Tennessee. You know, what could other people just do, and do you think that the University of Tennessee most successful athletic department in the country as far as keeping all their sports relative and, you know, just keeping a competitive program, whether it be diving or football? And do you think we're dead in the SEC tournament and the big tournament?
Oh, no. I mean, I think Saturday, I'm not saying I predicted it because I really don't predict. But, I mean, I think you could see, I mean, that was a revenge game for Kentucky. Kentucky also happens to be playing at an elite level right now. And Tennessee had just won the SEC on Wednesday night. There may have been maybe a tinge of a let up. But you're right about Tennessee's athletic department. It is I mean, 2 years ago, the baseball team was number one in the country. The football team has been outstanding in recent years under Josh Heupel. Women's basketball is always respectable. It's a fair point. Thanks for the call. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. How you been, my friend?
We're doing great. Thank you.
The LSU-South Carolina game. Paul, I don't know why people are surprised. We've seen this come in this rivalry and in college sports lately. And I guarantee you, the NCAA, before these tournaments start, they come out and get a notification that they're not going to put up with all that trash talking. And this could have been put to rest. You know, it's gradually gotten worse over the years. And I noticed last year in a college baseball tournament, as far as I know of, there was four players kicked out, one for just staring down after hitting a home run, one for swinging a bat, one for saying something to a player when they cross each other on the field. And this was in the men's baseball tournament last year. So I guarantee you they start cracking down on this, Paul, because I know trash talking is part of the sports, but when you do it every time and you show your ring or you say somebody's too short and all that kind of stuff, it's a buildup, especially when as great as those two coaches are, and they're the two best coaches in women's basketball, and they got some of the best players, and that is just a great, great women's college basketball matchup, and I enjoyed watching it. But I guarantee you, both men's and women's, they come out with a notice and crack down on all that trash talking. But good talking.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.